You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Welcome back, everyone, to 1001 Stories from the Old West. This is your host and storyteller, John Hagedorn. I've got three Gunsmoke episodes for you today. Enjoy.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Careful, Doc. You're going to finish that beer.
Huh? Why shouldn't I finish it?
There's no need to get your back up. I just meant you usually don't have time to finish it. More than likely, you get called away before you get your beer half drunk. That's all.
Well, I guess you're right. I suppose I've mentioned to you before that some of us have to work at our job.
Yes, Doc, you mentioned it.
Hello, Matt.
Well, good
afternoon, Jimmy.
I'll get up. I'll sit down with you.
All right.
Well, what's the argument about this time?
There's no argument, Kitty, but sometimes it's just about as tough to agree with Doc as it is to argue with him.
Well, either way, it's hard to have a conversation with somebody who doesn't know the difference.
Thanks, Doc.
I'm not even going to try to understand you two. Can I get you another beer?
No, thanks, Kitty. I have to get back.
I guess I'll have one, Kitty.
Yes, I might have known.
Don?
Over here, Chester.
Excuse me, Kitty. It's just a telegraph. Just come in for you.
Oh, let me see it.
Yeah. Say, you sure was right, suspicioning that Gurney fella. It sounds like you know what's in that wire.
Yeah, sure does.
Well, of course I know what's in it. It's my business to know when a prisoner turns out to be a wanted man, ain't it, Mr. Dillon?
Oh, is that the man you locked up last night, Matt?
Yeah, Doc, I sent an inquiry about him. Yeah, he's wanted, all right.
What for, Matt?
Murder. Two of them. In Wichita.
Wichita? Well, anyway, he won't be bothering you long.
Now, what do you mean?
Well, they'll be sending for him from Wichita, won't they? Getting him off your hands?
It's not that easy, Doc. Afraid I'm going to have to deliver him. Well, come on, Chester. We'll take the afternoon stage. Looks to me as though that team could just about get there by itself, Jim, without you, the driver.
I expect them horses could do it all right, Marshal. They need to run often enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the ruts in the road ought to be enough to guide them, even if nothing else does.
Yep. It don't get no smoother, does it?
No, sir.
Long time since you loaded me, Marshal.
I just as soon not be making the trip this time either.
That Gurney fella giving you trouble?
Ah, no more than usual. Chester gives me more trouble than he does.
Yep, how's that?
Well, he doesn't cotton to being shackled to a prisoner when there's a pretty schoolmarm riding across the coach from him.
That kid says I blame him.
Well, I told him you'd have to go slow anyway with a preacher riding right along there, too.
I guess you're right about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. Come on. God said you true, Marshal. I'm kind of glad to have you riding shotgun this trip.
Huh? Are you worried about the gold?
There's a lot of money under this seat. I ain't riding easy until I get rid of it.
Yeah. We're stopping here at Half Creek Station, aren't we?
That's right, Marshal. Gonna change horses.
Good. I'll be glad to stretch my legs. I guess I'll cut Chester loose for a while.
You better warn the school, Marshal.
Yeah.
Old Miller. Help him get out, will you, Marshal? I'm going to have to unhitch the team myself.
Sure, Jim.
Are you going to be stopped here for a spell, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, Chester, come on out. Well, come on out.
Well, I can't exactly make it alone.
Well, why don't you bring Gurney with you, then?
Well, sure, I'll be... Oh, excuse me. After you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Well, here you are, ma'am. Let me get you. There
we go. Time, Marshal.
All right, now, Granny, come on. Let's get over. Excuse me, Carson. You go right ahead, sir.
Thank you.
Granny, come on. I'm setting this stuff in stage the whole day. You pull them shackles once more, I'll wrap them around your gullet.
I'd be worrying about my own gullet, I hear.
All right, that's enough. You'll find coffee inside, folks.
Thanks. I'd like some coffee myself, Mr. Dillon.
You'll get it, Chester. You'll get it. Here, hold out your arm. I'll take the manacles off.
Sir, I won't be sorry to be free of the likes of human. That's the truth.
If I ever get this near you and I am free, you won't live to complain no more.
Mr. Dillon, you ain't going to let Gurney wander around loose in the stage station, are you?
No, Chester. We'll shackle him to the wheel while we're stopped. All right, Gurney, come on.
Yeah, you do that, Marshal. You just locked me up good. Well, the two of you together ain't man enough to hold me.
Well, don't you worry about it. There.
Pardon me, Marshal.
Yes, ma'am?
I couldn't help noticing what you're doing to this man.
Now, what do you mean?
Chaining him to the wheel.
Well, he's a prisoner, man.
And he just ain't no good at all, Mr. Randall. Why, he's the worst kind of a thief and murderer.
Never mind, Chester.
I know you have to guard him, Marshal, but he's a human being.
Now, he's wanted for two murders.
Does that mean you have to treat him like a wild beast?
Well, I have to make sure that he doesn't get away, ma'am.
Well, you could bring him inside out of the sun, couldn't you?
I have to think of the safety of the other passengers. Besides, it's not going to hurt him.
Marshal Dillon, I believe in the dignity of man.
Well, so do I, ma'am. The trouble is, Gurney here doesn't.
Exactly as you presented the case, Marshal.
Oh, how's that, Reverend?
There's nobody here. There's no coffee.
No coffee? Well, I never heard of such a thing. I'll see if I can.
Well, there's usually somebody around. He may be out with the horses.
You ought to take some water to that man out there.
Don't worry, ma'am. We won't let him go tonight.
There don't seem to be nobody around at all. I don't know where that old man's gone off to.
Well, he was here the last time he came through, wasn't he, Jim?
Sure he was. He was always out front waiting. Old man Miller never saw nobody between stages, and he made up for it all at once, like to talk your arm off.
He wouldn't be likely to miss a stop on purpose, sir.
Well, not him. Why?
Well, I declare it's a treat, Mr. Germain, no coffee. Just a little bit in the pot. It must have been left over from breakfast, and that is stone cold.
Did you look outside for the old man who runs the place, Chester?
Well, no, sir, I didn't. He might could be out back away, though, and I didn't go out there. I'm mostly interested in the coffee.
Well, I looked out there some, didn't see nothing.
Well, looks like we're stuck for it. All right, come on, Jim. I'll help you round up some fresh horses in the corral.
That's about the worst of it, Marshal.
Huh? Well, how's that?
When I took that team around back to exchange them, there weren't no other horses.
Well, I think we better take a real look around, then. Chester,
yes,
you keep an eye on Gurney here. Jimmy, come with me, huh?
All right. All right,
Marshal.
Hey, Mr. Joe, look, the stage horses. Somebody's driving them out of the corral.
The gold.
Oh, wait a minute, Jim. Where do we get...
Jim, come back!
Chester, cover me. I'm going after him.
Yes, sir.
Hey, low, Jim.
You heard bad?
No. No, they're running yonder toward them rocks.
Yeah.
One of them run off the horses, and the other two is after the gold on the stage.
Yeah, they almost got it, too.
I got to get it down off the box.
Now, you stay right there. I'll get it.
They'll cut you down.
Now, you stay down. I'm going to run for it. It's all right, Jim. I got it.
Chester!
Yes, Mr. Don?
Here, you stay here with Jim while I unlock Gurney from that wheel.
Hey, he ain't worth taking a chance for.
Maybe not, Chester, but like the lady reminded us, he's still a human being. You'll be all right here.
Thanks, Marshal.
Chester.
Yes, sir?
As soon as you get Gurney tied, heat some water, will you?
Oh, yes, sir, I'll do that.
I saw a good many wounded in the war, Marshal. May I offer my help?
I'm glad to have it, Reverend. He caught one on the side. Well, let's get his shirt off.
Oh.
Yes, I see. The bullet will have to be extracted.
Yeah. You any good at this, Reverend?
I've never actually operated, Marshal. Phil, if you need me to do it.
No, I'll do it. I guess I'm a little more familiar with bullets than you are.
Just tell me how I can assist.
It might just help to have somebody in your line of work standing by.
Very well.
Chester, you getting some hot water?
I'm trying to, but there sure ain't much water in the bucket.
Well, you bring me what you got, then.
Yes, sir. We'll sure get thirsty if we have to stay here for long.
Well, those gunmen out there, we'll have time to worry about that later. Yes, ma'am, I will. Are you trying to get some rest, huh?
I think I'd best get some breakfast first.
You're thinking about breakfast, Mr. Randall. You got no food, too. There ain't no food in the cupboards at all.
I know that, Mr. Proudfoot, but I have some food I brought with me.
You brought some with
you? Mm. I always pack lunch. I'll get it. Yeah, let me see. I divided I said something, Mr. Fox.
That ain't gonna need you 2 minutes.
Mm, but it's better than nothing. Now, let's see. There's the Reverend and the Marshal and you, Mr. Bach, and the prisoner.
Are you planning on dividing up this little bit of food with him?
Well, he's as hungry as any of us.
Well, yes, ma'am, but he... Well, I mean, he...
I'll take the prisoner first. I brought you some food.
Well, now, ma'am, it's mighty nice of you. It's mighty nice. But I ain't able to eat it with my hands tied behind me.
Marshal?
Yes, ma'am?
I think this man's hands should be untied so that he can eat.
Oh, I'm not sure, Miss Lorenzo.
Please, Marshal.
All right, Chester, untie his hands, will you?
Well, I sure do hate to do this, Mr. Young.
I was afraid like you, I'd hate to do it, too.
Don't you worry about me being afraid of the likes of you. There. Don't hurt my feelings none of you choke on that food.
Little lady don't feel that way, do you now?
You're entitled to some nourishment.
Sure is nice to have you on my side, ma'am.
I'm only on the side of which wife.
Well, I don't blame you for choosing me over these two.
Why, she ain't doing no such a thing. You just keep your mouth shut.
Never mind, Chester.
Well, you ain't choosing him, are you, Miss Lorenda?
I'm choosing the ideas I try to teach in my school, Mr. Proudfoot. No man can be considered guilty until he's had a fair trial.
How about that, lawman? You ever think of that? Yes, I have, Gurney.
I'm just saying I think all law is important, Marshal.
Yes, ma'am. But so do I. Slowly to the driver during the day, but he's burning up with fever. I don't know how long he'll last now that it's gone. Well, I'll go out and get some water.
Well, Mr. Young, them fellas will pick you off going through well, sure as anything.
We gotta have water, Chester. Hand me the bucket. And I guess you were right, Chester. Nobody's going to make it to that well. At least not in the daylight.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'll get the water, Marshal. Now, they'll blow you to kingdom come, Reverend. I'm a man of the cloth. They won't shoot at me.
Why, if them fellas would shoot their own mothers to get at that gold.
I wouldn't count on being safe, Reverend. We better wait for dark. Jim Buck may not have that much time. Hand me that other bucket there. Seems to be a hole in the one you carried, Marshal. It's not worth the chance, Reverend. A man's life is worth any chance. Please stand away from the door. Okay. Thank you.
John, they shot him before he got out the door.
Yeah, come on, let's get it inside.
There's two wounded in bad need of water.
No, Chester, he won't be needing any. He's dead.
Ain't no sense to killing a man like him. Ain't no sense at all.
They're not interested in the kind of men they killed, Chester.
Well, what do they mean to do? Whatever more of rock. He's got something tied around his head.
Yeah. Well, here's your answer about what they mean to do in this note.
What's it say?
We got food and water and time to wait for the gold.
What are you going to do, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know, Chester. But I don't like my choices.
Here's your share of the last bit of the food, Marshal.
Thank you, ma'am.
Sorry there's nothing to wash it down with.
How's Jim doing?
Not well. I'm very fearful for him if they don't get help soon.
Yes, ma'am.
You and Chester, you've been at the windows for hours. Do you see any way out for us?
No, not right now. In the daylight.
But tonight?
Well, we had one more man to draw their fire.
Maybe I could do it.
No, things aren't that bad yet. Don't you worry, ma'am. We'll get out of this some way.
Go ahead, Marshal. Let her help you. It's about what I'd figure from you.
That's enough, Gurney.
I'll take around the rest of the food. Chester?
Thank you.
There's your share.
Thanks.
I'll untie your hand.
You ain't afraid of me.
Well, no. I'm not afraid of you.
Most folks are.
Does it please you that they're afraid?
No, ma'am. I guess it doesn't.
Take the food.
Thanks. You really meant it when you said you'd walk out there to help the marshal. You really meant that?
Certainly I meant it.
What makes you figure it'd be worth it?
Why, because there's a need, Mr. Gurney. There's a badly wounded man. We have to get him out some way.
That ain't much of a reason to risk your life.
I think it is, Mr. Gurney.
Why?
I think it's important to be needed. Don't you?
I don't know I ever gave it much thought.
Chester.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Dillon.
You seen anything moving?
I'm sorry. I wouldn't claim that my eyes was too good, but now, though.
Yeah. That's been a long night.
Mr. Dillon, you think them fellas out there are getting any sleep?
I'm not worried about whether they're getting any sleep or not, Chester.
Seems like the night's the only chance we got to make the news.
Yeah.
Mr. Dillon, we've got to get water. I know I can get out to the well and back.
Let's understand each other,
Marshal,
ma'am.
This man is dying.
I know that, ma'am. But getting somebody else killed isn't going to help any.
If the gold is important, couldn't we give them the gold to save a man's life?
This man risked his life for it once. It's up to us to see that he didn't do it for nothing.
I'm not going to wait. I'm going out there.
Now, you listen to me, ma'am. Nobody's going to get anywhere running out there alone. For any of us to have a chance, we're going to have to know exactly where those men are. We'll have just one shot at them if we're lucky.
Mr. Dillon, this Gurney making a break for it. I'll go after him.
No, they get you. Up in the trees, Chester. Get him.
Think shooting's over?
I gotta think so, Chester. Now, you keep an eye on those trees. I'm going out to where Gurney fell. I think it's over, Chester. Come on out.
Pardon, Mr. Dillon?
I'm coming with you.
You didn't need to come, ma'am. It's not a pretty sight.
Is he dead?
Yes, ma'am. I guess the others are dead, too.
What an awful way to end a life.
Well, he didn't have much chance of ending it any better.
He sure was a fool making a break for it like that. But it was certain death.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure that's what he was doing.
What?
Maybe he wasn't making a break for it.
Of course he was. My goodness, why else would he run out that way?
To save our lives. Maybe he knew he could by drawing that fire.
He was going back to be tried for murder, you know.
I know. You said yourself that a man can't be judged guilty until a court of law finds him so. It's possible that he would have gone free, Marshal.
Yes, ma'am, that's possible.
So I'd like to think that this was an unselfish act. That he wanted to do one thing with dignity, even if it meant his death. It wouldn't hurt to think that, would it, Marshal?
No, ma'am. It wouldn't hurt a bit. Because dignity is something that should never be taken from any man.
And directed in Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Marion Clark, with editorial supervision by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Gene Bates, Vic Perrin, Harry Bartell, and Barney Phillips. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
I ain't at all sure about that, Mr. Dillon.
Sure about what?
But it's a good morning.
Well, it's the only one we're going to get, Chester. Is that fresh coffee?
No, sure ain't. That's the batch I boiled up last night.
Oh?
I ain't had time to make no fresh yet.
Why?
Them fellas you locked up last night, Mr.
Dillon. Have they caused them trouble?
Well, they've been at me ever since I come in here, fussing and complaining.
About what?
They want me to fix them some breakfast. Been carrying on about it like they'd never ate before.
Well, I guess they've never had anything like your cooking before, Chester.
Ain't you going to let them out this morning, Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, I guess so. They should be sober enough by now.
Well, then it just don't make a bit of sense for me to go to all the trouble of feeding them, does it?
No, forget it, Chester. I'm going to let them out.
Bloody car, I got me enough to do around here just redding up the place. Stop feeding a clutch of prisoners that ain't even going to stay on.
All right, Chester. That's enough. You two can come out now.
Don't seem like to turn the body out without no food, Marshal. The old man could go weak.
Come on, get out of there and bring your friend with you.
He ain't feeling so good, Marshal. Looks like his strength was sapped. Now, we was to have some breakfast.
Look, you weren't worried about food last night when you rode your horses under the Long Branch, and I'm not going to worry about it now. Go on, get out of here.
Seems like we could have some coffee anyway.
I said get out.
Come on.
See what I mean? You think we was running a boarding house around here.
Yeah.
You should have just left them laying there in the saloon last night to get pumped on.
You better get the cell cleaned up, Chester.
And that's another thing, Mr. Dillon. It just don't seem right for them drunks to be able to make the fearful mess they do and have somebody to have to clean up after.
Go on, Chester. Get it over with.
Yes, sir. I'll do it all right, but I ain't going to like it. No.
Well, I don't like hearing you complain about it either.
Hello, Matt. Chester?
Now, how about that?
Hello, Doc. Oh, something the matter with you two?
Well, Chester doesn't like the way the marshal's office is being run, that's all.
Well, neither do I. I was coming in to tell you about it.
Oh? All right, Doc, what's on your mind?
Some drunken drover jumped into my buggy last night out in front of the office and raced it down the street.
Oh, did he bring it back?
He couldn't. He turned it over going around the corner.
You know who it was?
No idea. Wilbert was disappeared into the nearest saloon.
I'm sorry, Doc, but it doesn't look like I can do anything for you.
Well, why not?
Well, in the first place, there was no harm done.
My buggy was stolen.
You got it back, didn't you? For heaven's sake, stop being such an old maid.
Oh, maid. Now, look here, Matt.
What do you want me to do? Sit around watching your buggy all
day? No, Matt. No, of course not. But there ought to be a better way of keeping the town in line.
Well, maybe we could pass a law saying that drovers can't drive buggies, huh?
I don't think that's terribly funny, Matt. All I'm saying is there must be something you can do.
Look, Doc, I've had fevers and ague that you haven't cured.
But at least when you come into my office, I try to help. And that's more than I can say for your office.
Well, you better stick to your pills.
I intend to. I certainly intend to. I won't be wasting any more time around here. You can be sure of that.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Dobie. I didn't mean to run you down.
Oh, you're looking for the marshal?
Yes. Go right on in for all the good it'll do you.
Well,
I'm getting out.
Well, doctor seemed a little upset.
Yeah, well, Doc gets that way sometimes. What can I do for you, Dobie?
Oh, well, truth is, Marshal, I've come to register a complaint.
Well, you're going to have to stand in line.
How's that?
Oh, never mind. What's your problem?
Oh, well, Marshal, those chairs, you know, those chairs I have sitting along in front of the hotel along the boardwalk there?
Yeah.
Well, you know, people keep sitting in them.
Well, I guess I don't understand.
Well, what I mean is those chairs are put there for my hotel guests, and the town loafers have taken over. Never any room for my guests.
Have any of your guests complained to you?
No.
Well, how do you know that they'd want to use them?
Well, I know. I just know, that's all.
I see. Now, what do you want me to do about it?
Well, Marshal, Dodge House has a reputation to uphold. And it isn't helping any when every lazy, good-for-nothing in Dodge spends the day whittling or sleeping right at the front door. I want you to tell those men they can't do that anymore.
You asking me to be a doorman, Mr. Dobie?
Well, no, of course not.
Well, I have two suggestions for you, Mr. Dobie. Either tell the loafers you speak of to move along or you take away the chairs. Now, I can't see that that's too much of a problem. Besides, I've never seen one guest at the Dodge House sit on that boardwalk in all the years that I've been here. You go on, Dobie, because you've got a hotel to run, and you better tend to it. And I wouldn't be too hard on those loafers you speak of, because most of them are men who boot this town.
All right, Marshal, all right. I'm frank to say I'm disappointed in the Marshal's office. Good days.
I'm beginning to get pretty disappointed in it myself. Where's my... Chester!
Mister?
What happened to my hat?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean, yes, sir?
I was afraid you were going to ask that.
What does that mean?
Yes, sir. See, I was toting in a bucket of water to mop up with this morning, and just as I come in the door, one of them cussed prisoners hollered something at me, and when I turned around and yelled back, I knocked her hat right off in the peg there, and the water flopped all over.
Well, if you're that bad off, you better get Doc to give you some of that nerve tonic he saves for old women. Now, where did you put it?
The bucket?
Where did you put my hat, Chester?
Yes, sir. I was trying to dry it out over the stove.
Oh, come on, Chester, come on.
I just got it a little bit too close. Burned the top clean out of it, Mr. Jones, so I just kind of throwed it out.
You threw it out?
wasn't nothing left but the brim, Mr. Jones. And you know, you'd look kindly foolish just going around in that. The brim.
All right, Chester.
Where are you going, Mr.
I am going to the store, Chester, to get myself a new hat so that I won't look so foolish. If that's possible.
Hello there, Marshal. Be right there with you.
All right, Jonas.
Why, hello, Marshal Dillon.
Hello, Miss Bagley.
No, I was going to call on you at your office later today, but now I won't have to, will I? Meeting you in the store this way.
No, ma'am, I guess not.
You know, Marshal, several of the town ladies have been meeting at our home from time to time to discuss matters affecting our community.
Uh-huh.
And frankly, Marshal, we've been disturbed about the way things have been going on in Dodge.
Oh? Is that so?
Yes, Marshal. I was talking to the ladies about it last night. Bottles all over the street and noise and shootings every time the Texas herds come in.
Uh-huh.
And we ladies feel that perhaps the law might keep things just a little better under control.
Well, I tell you something, Miss Bagley.
Excuse me. There's Mr. Bagley. He's come to take me home in the buggy. I guess I'll have to come to your office after all, Marshal.
Yeah. Why don't you do that?
All right, Marshal, I can take care of you now.
I want a hat, Jonas.
A hat? I just sold you one month or two ago.
I want another one.
Well, sure. See what I got out back.
The same kind will do.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have a look at that new Schwartz rifle that just came in today.
When'd you get into town?
I just rolled in. I got the dry throat and cancer.
Well, we better fix that up. Jonas!
I've almost heard him, Marshal.
No hurry. I'll be back later. Come on, Luke. I'll buy the first.
I won't give you an argument.
Well, how long are you here for?
Just a day this time. I got my eye on the far west. This part of the country isn't going to make anybody rich. I just figure it's time to move on. You know, that might not be a bad idea for you, too, come to think of it.
Yeah, you may be right, Luke. You may be right. You make it sound like a fortune's just lying there waiting for us.
Well, it is, Matt. I tell you, it is. But now that the railroad is joined up, there's just no telling what a man could do for himself out there.
I know, but a lot of gold rushers came back with holes in their britches.
Sure they did, Matt, but this is different. Things are starting up now that'll last. Well, you know, you could set yourself up your own town.
You're aiming pretty high, aren't you, Luke?
Sure, I'm aiming high, Matt, and you should, too. What do you figure you'll ever get out of Dodge?
Nothing more than I can carry.
That's right. That's absolutely right. You're eating dust and dodging bullets and chasing every penny ante bad man on the prairie. Isn't that right?
That's about it.
You're frying in the summer and freezing in the winter. Nursemaid in a town that doesn't even thank you for it.
You know, you always were one to talk up a storm, Luke.
I'm talking sense, Matt. I'm right and you know it. Well, you can stay on here and spend your life for this town and get no thanks for it. Now, isn't that so?
I don't get paid in thanks.
Or much else, either. Well, I'm on my way, Matt. Got to collect some money from a fella up country, but you think it over. I'll be back.
You coming through, Dodge?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm coming through in a few days, heading west. You got any sense, you come with me. Think it over, Matt.
Yeah. I will think it over. So long, Luke.
I'll be back, Matt. You be ready.
Yeah.
Time since I've seen you take a drink before noon.
Oh, hello, Kitty.
You gonna ask me to sit down?
Oh, sure, sit down.
That fella, an old friend of yours? Matt?
What?
Oh, for heaven's sake, if I'm bothering.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Kitty. I was thinking. What did you say?
It's kind of early to be wool gathering. I just ask if that fellow was an old friend.
Yeah, Luke Gilmore. I know him in Texas.
Oh, you're making some plans with him?
I don't know yet, Kitty. But it just might be.
Here, Glenn, Miss Jones. I'm awful sorry I let it run out of coral oil, but it's refilled right up the top. And I trimmed down the wick a little dab, too.
Thanks, Chester. Just set it on.
Anything else I could get you, Mr. Dillon? Nice cup of coffee?
No, thanks, Chester. I'm going to turn in.
Maybe a fresh pail of water? I'd go fetch it from the well.
No, you just brought one, did you?
Oh. Yes, well. Well, then I'll just see if this window's open nice and wide.
Oh, for goodness sakes, Chester, will you stop fussing around like a mother hen? What's the matter with you?
Well, ain't nothing really the matter. I just got to come right out with it, Mr. Dillon.
Come out with what?
Everybody's talking about how you're as out as a bull in a thorn thicket these last few days. Miss Kitty and Doc and me was wondering if maybe there's anything wrong.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
Oh, never mind, Chester. It's not important. No. Why don't you get on out of here and let me get some sleep? Huh?
All right, Mr. Dillon. Yes, sir.
Good night, Chester.
Good night, Mr. Dillon.
Darn fool. Hello, Long Robe. How did you get here?
Door not locked.
Oh, won't you sit down?
No. Want Marshal come.
Come? Come where?
Long Robe show.
Well, all right, Long Robe, in the morning.
No, wait.
You mean you want me to ride out with you now?
No.
What's the matter?
Be much shooting if guns come.
Guns? What guns?
White men selling guns. Bring in mourning to Indians. Long Robe want to stop. You come.
All right, Long Robe. I'll come.
Trees by river.
Yeah, I see them.
We stop there.
That's where the wagon will be coming?
Wagon cross river there. Yeah, we wait.
Okay, well, well.
Here. Stop here.
Yeah.
Now, wait here. Marshal, no sleep. Marshal, man of plains. Marshal, keep good watch.
Tell me something, Long Robe. Why didn't you go to the army at Fort Dodge about this? Why did you come to me?
No one soldiers.
Well, they'd have gotten the gun runners for you.
Soldiers not know.
What do you mean they don't know? This is their business.
Soldiers not know Indians. Soldiers come, soldiers go away. Soldier not man of planes.
Well, what's that got to do with stopping some gun runners?
Soldier stop gun runners. But soldier go get Indian, too. Punish Indian. Start more trouble.
You don't think the Indians should be punished?
Long robe punish Indian. Keep trouble in tribe. No shooting.
I guess you will at that.
Indian need help from white man. But white man must know Indian.
Well, lots of white men know Indians. I'm not the only one.
To Long Robe and his people, Marshall the only one. Marshall is friend. We watch now for wagon. Marshal, wagon comes.
Yeah, I've been watching it.
Long Robe stand with Marshal.
No, you stay here, out of sight.
Long Robe stand with friend.
I don't want you hurt in any shooting.
Not afraid.
You brought me out here because you thought I can handle this, didn't you? Because you didn't want trouble for your tribe? There'd be plenty of trouble if you were shot, Long Robe. Every Indian on these plains would fight if their chief was killed.
Marshal talks true.
All right, then. You stay down. I'll go out there now, and I'll tell you when to come. All right, that's far enough.
We ain't got room for no more. Or it'd be too many.
I don't want to ride. I want to look in your wagon.
Now, mister, I'm not sure I'd take kindly to that.
I'm the marshal out of Dodge. I want to know what you're carrying.
I tell you, Marshal, you see what I'm carrying right there. Won't take much to make it go off.
Yeah. And that gun's a sample of the wagon load you're taking to the Indians.
Well, now, Marshal, that's mighty interesting talk. How you come to know about that?
Let's just say I got friends.
Let's just say you're going to need them.
Shoot him, Jack.
You stand to be in enough trouble running guns to the Indians without shooting a U.S. Marshal.
Oh, ain't nobody gonna find you to know about it, Marshal. Don't you worry none at all.
Come down out of that wagon.
Jack, you take another look, Marshal. There's three of us. We got guns to ram straight down your throat.
There wouldn't be three of you when it was over.
You can't take us all three.
Maybe not. But I can take the first one to start anything, so go ahead and try it.
He's bluffing, Jack.
You can sure find out in a hurry. Now, come on. You make your play or you come down off that wagon.
No man wear a tin badge gonna face me down.
All right, who's next?
You killed him. You killed Jack.
Now, is either one of you two feeling brave? And you drop your guns and you get down off that wagon right now. Now stand right there. Long Robe!
Marshal?
Tie him up for me, will you? There's a rope under the wagon seat. I'll put this man in the back. You got those two tied. You can drive the wagon back to town. I'll ride alongside. You can pull up now, Long Robe. I'll take over here. We're just about in. Be better if you weren't seen around here. You might have to answer a lot of questions.
Questions bring trouble.
They can if people don't understand the answers.
Marshal understands answers.
Well, some of them anyway.
Marshal understands answers about Indians. Marshal knows ways of the plains.
I've been out here for a long time. I should have learned something.
All white men do not learn.
Maybe not.
It is good for Indian to have Marshall learn.
I guess so.
It is good for white man, too.
Well...
It is good for man to live among people he understands, where there is need. Long Robe, go now.
All right, Long Robe. Will your people be moving on soon?
At the next full moon.
Oh, good hunting.
When the next north wind blows, my people come back. Long Robe come to smoke pipe with Marshall.
All right, Long Robe. I'll be here. It is good for man to live among people he understands.
In Hollywood by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Marion Clark, with editorial supervision by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Virginia Christine, Richard Perkins, Ralph Moody, Lawrence Dobkin, and Joseph Kern. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. This is George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week. City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
Chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
It's a fright the Randy gets from them rooms. My jing, that bed up there don't get no softer.
What's that, Chester?
I was just telling you, Mr. Doby, the bed up in number 4 don't have no more give to it than an old McClellan saddle.
Well, now, I don't know. What were you doing up there anyway?
I seen that drummer pack his duds out of here, so I knowed he wasn't in there no more, so I went on up.
You got no right to go in my rooms. No right at all.
Well, now, Mr. Doby, I've been figuring I might take that room someday, and I was just kind of looking it over.
Oh, for heaven's sake, Chester, you're talking a lot of foolishness. You can't afford to stay in the Dodge House.
Well, now, it don't hurt none for a man to think about bettering himself. What in the world is that?
Oh, it's a fight. Right outside my hotel. Hey,
now. Don't upset yourself, Mr. Doby. You just sit there. I'll go on out and see.
I'll pay any damages. You tell them.
Yeah. All right, old man. Here now.
Yeah, old man. I think you better sit down.
Here,
you
young sweetheart.
Just quit your jabbering.
Here. You leave Charlie be.
Yeah, you better mind your own business, Chester.
I said move along now. Leave him be.
Hey, now.
A hard nose. Well, you ought to be ashamed, big fellas like you pushing an old man around.
We didn't mean no harm. We were just trying to get him to stop ragging at us, to quit his talking.
It don't make no difference to me what you were trying to do. Go on, get.
Getting so you can't walk down the street without he stops you and talks your ear off.
I said get. You hurt Charlie?
No, I ain't hurt. It'd take more than them young buzzards to hurt me.
What was they pushing you around for?
Oh, I was just trying to tell them something, that's all. Young folks ain't got the gumption to listen when to do them the most good.
Well, now...
Well, they'd have got shot down easy.
Shot? Who's going to shoot them?
Well, anybody to draw on, the way they was handling them guns.
I didn't hear no shooting.
Of course you didn't. There wasn't none. They was talking about a fast draw. They'd have been shot down, sure.
Charlie, was you trying to tell them how to do it?
Young ones, they just don't listen. You try to tell them, but they just don't listen.
Well, now, you just sit there quiet like. They won't bother you no more.
Rio Joe would have got both of them before they even slapped the leather the way they is doing it.
Yeah, well, sure, Rio Joe would have outdrew anybody, but that goes back a ways, don't it?
Young smart Alex, they won't listen at all. Hey, they kind of winged you in the eye, didn't they?
I guess maybe they did. There was a few elbows flying around.
Well, you better put some beefsteak on it. Man needs his eyesight these days. Seeing's a good part of shooting.
Yeah, sure. Well, all right then. You just sit there, Charlie, now, and you let me know if you get bothered some more.
Ain't nobody willing to listen no more, no matter how much you got to tell them.
Well, I'll see you sometime. Now, you take care of yourself, Charlie.
Ain't nobody willing to listen at all.
Ah, there you are.
Thank you, Kitty.
Oh, thank you, Kitty. Can't you sit down with us?
Oh, maybe. For a few minutes.
Ah, good.
I gotta check over the whiskey supply with Sam pretty soon.
Well, now, I wouldn't want to interfere with that. It'd be a terrible tragedy for Dodge if a saloon ran dry.
Yeah, most of these men would rather see the river go dry.
Well, you're both sounding pretty high and mighty for a couple of fellows who aren't exactly teetotalers.
Oh, just philosophizing, Kitty. Nothing personal.
How come Matt's buying you 2 beers, Doc?
Because I won 2 games of checkers. That's why. He's slowing up, Kitty. Oh, he's slowing up.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Oh.
Doc?
Yeah?
Mind if I see you for a minute?
Why, sure not, Chester. Sit down.
Well, no, thank you. I think we might go on over to your office.
Chester, look at me.
Chester?
Oh, Miss Kitty.
You got a black eye.
Hey, let me see that, Chester. But you sure have, and it's a beaut.
Yes, sir, I guess it is. Doc, you got something put on it? Man ought to protect his eyesight.
Of course, a little late for that, Chester. You should have ducked.
Yeah, where'd you pick that up, Chester?
Well, I was just trying to help, that's all. It just don't pay a body to try and do a good deed anymore.
What were you trying to help?
That old Charlie, what's his name, sits out in front of the Dodge House talking to anybody who'll listen.
Charlie, don't tell me he gave you that eye.
No, Doc, no, of course not. A couple of young smart alecks was picking on him, and I mixed in it and come out with this.
Yeah, it doesn't look like you accomplished much.
Now, stop teasing him, you two. That was a nice thing you did, Chester.
Thank you. I'm off all right. But the old coot's bound to get into more trouble.
Oh, how's that?
Why, he keeps telling folks what they ought to do, and you know, Mr. Dillon, there ain't too many people who want to listen to an old man like him tell them how to draw a gun.
Draw a gun?
He's always talking about the gunfighters of olden days, and folks get tired of listening to that.
Yeah, well, you better not listen either, Chester. You only got one more eye.
Now, don't pay any attention to him, Chester. I'll fix that eye up for you.
Yes, a little raw meat, Kitty. That's about the best thing.
Yeah, and a few less jokes. I never did know what was so funny about a black eye. Come on, Chester.
Now, you see, boy, you got to be careful about how you work the barrel. You got to have a good, true barrel on your gun.
You sure can whittle nice, mister.
Oh, well, boy, it don't take much to do some whittling. All you got to do is have a sharp knife and to remember it's in your hands for what you're making.
Well, you got a remembrance for that gun, mister?
Oh, my. Like I have for the blaze of the Texas sun on my back. Man, don't forget them things.
It don't look like my pa's gun. That part there is different.
This here?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they got newfangled ideas. You don't need no notch in the cylinder to make a good gun.
Well, pa shoots better, I reckon.
And ain't nobody needs nothing better than his gun. Well, Rio Joe could hit anything he could see.
You know Rio Joe?
Yes, I know him.
You seen him doing his shooting?
Oh, stood right with him.
By jingle, mister. Well, you recollect things you could tell me?
Well, sure, boy. I recollect real good. I recollect the time down in border country when he faced down three men using a gun like this.
Three men? Was they drawing on him?
Well, yes, they drawed. But that was the last thing they ever did.
It don't seem likely no man could do that.
Rio could do it. He is good with a gun. Yeah, real good.
Go on, mister. Tell me how he done it.
Well, the way it was, Rio was coming along a trail by some cockerwoods.
You still spinning them yarns, old man.
He's telling me about Rio Joe.
Rio Joe. He's telling you about Rio Joe.
He seen him. He stood with him. Ain't that so, mister?
Of course that's so.
Well, don't listen to him, boy. This here old fool is like to hear himself talk. He never seen a gunfighter like Rio Joe his whole life.
Well, I did see him, too.
If he did, he'd have run so hard and no one have been stopped yet. He just talks so much the whole town's tired of it, boy. You don't want to get took in by an old blowhard.
Now, you look here.
Oh, Rio Joe.
Mister?
I was telling you straight, boy. You believe me, don't you?
Well, can you prove it?
I don't know, boy. I don't know.
You know, first I thought the old man gave it to him.
Old Charlie? Yeah. All he does is talk.
Oh, he sure does that, though, don't he?
You think nobody else knows how to draw a gun?
Yeah. Him
I ain't never seen him draw. He just talks about it.
Yeah. Don't seem like feller talks that much ought to back his play.
Old Charlie ain't got no play to back.
That'd be mighty interesting to put it up to him.
What you mean?
Yeah. Mighty interesting.
What are you aiming at?
I just got me a smart idea how to get rid of that old man.
Wait a minute, Rasp. He ain't done nothing bad enough to get shot for.
No. Well, who's talking about shooting? Hey.
You said get rid of him.
Sure I did, and it'll work. And all you got to do is just call his bluff.
How's that?
Well, get him out in the street and tell him he's got to face up to one of us. Or else keep his mouth shut and leave town.
Huh? Yeah, that'd be calling him all right.
He sure ain't gonna draw.
No, not a talker like him.
There'd be nothing for him to do but get. Come on, let's go fetch him.
Tonight?
Sure, tonight. Right now, ain't no reason to sleep on it. Come on.
Outside. But it's the middle of the night.
Well, it ain't gonna make much difference, old man.
Yeah. I drag him right out to the middle of the street. You're not man enough to free up together to get away with this.
What you talking?
You ain't got enough guts to water shotgun with you. I thought we was gonna shut him up, Rasp.
He sure is making a lot of noise for old man standing around in his drawer.
Bunch of yellow bellies. Dragging a man from his bed, you just give me a chance to get
We're
at you.
Giving you a chance, old man.
Down in Texas, we'd have strung you up.
Oh, you've been talking mighty big for a man that don't wear no gun.
And you're lucky I don't.
Well, now, we'll just see about that. We're going to give you one.
Huh?
We're going to see just how much you learn from Rio Joe.
You can't do that. Now, here.
Let me throw him. Let him go.
Oh, Marshal, we were just having some fun with him.
Let him go.
He sure needed the lesson.
He doesn't need any lessons from you. Go on now, get away from here.
Well, there ain't no call to get rough about it, Marshal. Somebody had to shut the old man up.
You listen to me. I find you pestering him again, I'll be roughing away. You're going to really understand. You go on and get out of here. Come on, Charlie. You'll go back to your room.
You don't need to give me no help, Marshal. I can take care of myself.
Sure. I know that, Charlie.
I wasn't scared of him. I just stood up to him.
Yeah. Come on upstairs.
Ain't nobody never got by with nothing like that before.
Now, don't worry about it. It's not going to happen again.
I know it ain't, Marshal. I know it ain't.
Charlie, you mind if I come in for a few minutes?
Huh? Yes, shoot yourself.
Figuring on staying in Dodge, Charlie?
Well, I did kind of have it in my mind. Man likes a place to settle.
Yeah. You don't need to change your mind because of those roughs, Charlie. I'll handle them.
Yeah. No need of that, Marshal. Oh, would you step over this way? I'd like to get in that trunk.
Oh, yeah, sure. Those guns a long time, Charlie.
Yes, I have.
Good shape.
They're old friends, Marshal. I take good care of them. the kind of comfort me to have him with me.
Yeah. I wouldn't get any idea about starting to wear them again, Charlie. They're old guns.
Oh. And I'm an old man. Is that what you're saying?
You're old enough to leave your gunfights behind you. Don't you remember that?
Took a beating.
Yeah.
That's a terrible thing they did to him. Do you think he's going to leave town now?
I don't know, Kitty. I wouldn't blame him if he did.
No. But it'd really be a shame. He wasn't doing any harm, telling his stories. And the kids seemed to like him.
Yeah. But Rasp didn't.
That Rasp Hiller. He's always been a bully.
Not like I hear my name mentioned around here.
You did, Rasp, and I'm glad to repeat what I said. I called you a bully.
Well, now, that ain't real ladylike, Miss Kitty. Is it, Marshal?
Why don't you move along, Rasp?
I keep forgetting you're the big marshal taking care of the ladies and the old men around town.
I have an idea that one particular old man can take care of himself.
Oh, you've been listening to too many of his stories.
I'm not so sure they're just stories.
What do you mean?
I saw a pair of horse pistols in his room last night. They looked like they'd had a lot of wear.
That old coot don't wear no gun.
He's wearing one now.
Oh, Charlie?
I wouldn't get in his way if I were you.
You mean that old geezer might draw on me? No, you've been took in by his talk.
I'm just telling you to be careful. He's not going to forget what you did to him last night.
All right, Marsha. I'll play along. I'll tell you one thing. That old man better not start nothing. I wear my guns all the time.
So do I, Rasp.
But you ain't scaring me none, Marshal. I'll be around.
So will I, Rasp.
So long, Miss Kitty.
Really think there's going to be trouble, Matt?
I don't know, Kitty. Old Charlie was pretty upset.
Well, you got to stop it. Don't let him put on those guns and march around till he gets himself killed.
I can't take him away from him, Kitty.
Why can't you?
Because he hasn't done anything.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I forgot. You have to sit and wait until something happens. Until somebody gets killed before you can do anything.
Oh, Kitty.
Why don't you just go stop this thing now, before someone gets hurt?
All right, I'll see what I can do. Telegraph office.
Oh, well, I'll walk along.
All right. I've been waiting for a wire from Washington. About time it came in.
That takes your badge away, right?
On days like this, they're welcome to it. Ah, hello, Ed. You got something for me?
Well, that's a funny thing, Marshal. Something just did come in. I was going to bring it up as soon as I ate my dinner.
Yeah?
Yeah, here you are.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Well, see you later, Ed.
Sure, Mark.
You don't look too happy about what's in that wire, man.
This wire isn't really good news, Doc. It's something I've been expecting.
That's your salary, did they?
Now, I wish it was that simple.
What's our hurry? Where are we going?
I want to find old Charlie and take his guns off of him.
You mean that wire was about old Charlie?
Yeah. I'd ask a couple of people. You better stick with me, Doc. You may be needed.
Yeah, sure.
Chester, I'm on my way.
He's last. And over Charlie.
Yeah, the wire was too late.
What's that?
Never mind. You look at Charlie over there, Doc.
Sure. I'm pretty sure Rast's dead, Mr. Dillon.
Yeah. He's dead.
That old man just stood there as cool as could be. Let Rast draw first.
Uh-huh.
And he shot him down with one of them old pistols.
I'm not surprised. Let's go see him. How is he, Doc?
He's not good, man. He's not good at all.
Marshal.
Yeah, Charlie.
I ain't gonna make it.
Don't worry about it.
We
interrupt this program now to bring you a special bulletin from WBT News. Mecklenburg police have arrested a Charlotte teenager and charged him with murder in connection with Friday's service station murder near Charlotte. Captain G.A. Stevens said 17-year-old Rayford Thomas Smith of Scotland Avenue has admitted participating in the shooting of a service station attendant by the name of Clifford Chandler. Police say Smith, who was arrested last night, made the admission this afternoon. Details later on WBT. Now back to Gunsmoke.
I could shoot, too. I could shoot as good as he could. I could draw as fast as Rio Joe.
Yeah, Charlie, you could.
You believe me, Marshal?
Yeah, I believe you.
I figured maybe you kind of know the whole thing.
Yeah, I do. I guessed it, Rio.
Sure. Tell the others for me. Tell them I weren't no fake.
He's gone, man.
Yeah.
Mr. Doon, just a minute ago, what was that you called him?
Rio, Chester.
Old Charlie was Rio? Just terrible. Dying like that. Nobody knowing who you are.
I don't know, Chester. I have a hunch Rio would like it just this way. I'd have had to arrest him otherwise. Rio's been a wanted man for 20 years.
By Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The story was specially written for Gunsmoke by Marion Clark, with editorial supervision by John Meston. Featured in the cast were Ralph Moody, Lawrence Dobkin, Dick Beals, Sam Edwards, Vic Perrin, and Jack Moyles. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. George Walsh inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents another story of the Western Frontier. When Matt Dillon, Chester Proudfoot, Doc, and Kitty, together with all the other hard-living citizens of Dodge, will be with you once more. It's America growing west in the 1870s. It's Gunsmoke.
Thanks for joining us at 1001 Stories from the Old West. We bring episodes every Sunday at noon Eastern Time and Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We always appreciate reviews. Thanks for listening. And we'll be back soon.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money.